51 and verse 53. He not only worried the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees, he worried a lot of people. Worried a lot of people. And what he says worried people then still worries people now. One thing some men say, boy, I hope and pray my wife never meets Jesus. That would wreck our family and wreck our marriage and wreck my plans. I tell you, it would wreck my Sundays. It would wreck my life. If she got religious, it would ruin everything. Because there's so many things she wouldn't want to do anymore. And we could reverse the shoe and say, but he, I hope my husband never gets religious. Man, it would wreck everything we've got planned and going for us. And Jesus said, that's something to worry about. I guarantee you I can do it. I can do it. Look, if you will, at verse 51. 12:51. Jesus said, do you suppose that I have come to give peace? You say, well, blessed are the peacemakers. Yeah. But that's not the kind of peace he's come to give. Personal peace. Peace from guilt. That's what he's come to give. There won't be peace on earth till he comes to reign as King of kings and Lord of lords at the second coming. There won't be peace on earth. He says there'll be wars and rumor of wars to the very end. And so that's not the... But he will give you personal peace within from guilt of sin. And he says here, do you think that I have come to give peace, that is world peace? No. Look at it again, folks. No, not true. You have it just wrong. I have come to cause division. Now, does that, you know, anytime you talk about divorce and separation, that worries folks. As your child divorces my mother and dad, separates, leaves them, that worries them. When you drive a wedge in a family between husband and wife or mother and son or daughter, that's worries folks. Worries them a lot. High priority worry. No compatibility. No fellowship, no friendship, hard to get along, no agreement. I mean, it's kind of a mess when you have this kind of situation among those in your family. Besides those in the workplace and those in the neighborhood and those your old crowd, he says here, now notice, from here forth, that is from now on, I'll give you an example, there shall be five folks living in a house, but because of me, they'll be divided. And he says here, there'll be three against two. Two for me, which means three against the others. Three against me and two for me, or three against me and two for me, or two for me and whatever. You know, that's what's going to happen. The father shall be divided against the son. The son will be for me and the father won't. That makes real problems. Especially if the father asks the son to do something wicked. The son says no. Or the son says, Dad, let's do this. The father says no. Why not, Dad? Because of my loyalty to Christ. And boy, the boy begins to worry. Man, I'm not going to have anything. I can't do anything. I can't go anywhere. And he begins to worry. Blessed are the worry makers. Now he goes on and says, the mother shall be against the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughters-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. That happens a lot anyway. But in this situation, he's saying, because of me, I shall be the fly in the ointment. I shall be the worry maker. I shall cause the problems. Because one will want to be righteous and holy and walk the narrow way, and one will want to be unrighteous and unholy and walk the broad way. And you can't do both. And so it brings worry. The wife worries if her husband's not saved. And the daughter worries if dad's not a Christian. And the dad worries that daughter's too much of a Christian. So it does present some real problems. And he says, I'm the one that causes the worry. And so I say to you, blessed are the worry makers, if we're going to follow the example of Jesus, and for the same reason. Maybe this was one of the sources of joy. Jesus said, happy is the one that, causes this kind of reaction. And so I would assume he obeyed his own beatitude, the last one. So happy should we be, I guess, if we make the unrighteous worry about their unrighteous ways and their stand against Christ. Maybe it should make us happy. That's the eighth beatitude. Now, I really want to preach about the most effective place that you can create worry. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this. Go to chapter 19 of the book of Acts. Turn with the Lord's Supper day is. I don't have much time to preach, so I have to kind of get with it here. So Acts number 19, verse 10 through 16. I'll read real rapidly, so keep up with me. Paul and Silas are preaching. I'm not sure Silas is here. Maybe, I know Paul is. I'm not sure who is with Paul. Anyway, Paul continued preaching for 2 years. He's in Thessalonica. That's the city. And while there in this area, he preached the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he preached to both the Jews and the Gentiles. I guess to anyone who'd listen. And while he was there these 2 years preaching, God also worked some great miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs, or aprons. I guess he had I don't know where he got all these things from, but anyway, he must have had a pile of aprons. He would pass these out, and whoever got a hold of one of them, the diseases disappeared from them. And even evil spirits, Paul didn't have to be there, and evil spirits would leave them when these things that Paul had prayed over, I guess, and touched were given to them. No one ever seen anything like this in Thessalonica. Jesus never did anything like this. And then there came some vagabond Jews. Actually, there are 7 brothers, and their dad's the high priest. And they had taken up the occupation of casting out evil spirits. They were called exorcists. And so they had claimed that they had the power to drive out the evil spirits. And so one day they heard Paul. He would cast out these demons in the name of Jesus. And so these 7 Jewish brothers said, hey, maybe there's something to this stuff. You know, just use that name. That's a magic name, and we'll use that. Maybe it'll give us more success than we've been having our way. And so, verse 14, so the 7 sons of a man named Sceva, Jew, chief of the priests, his 7 brothers, say, well, we're going to try that. So the next time we encounter somebody that we think is possessed of an evil spirit, we're going to cast him out, and then we're going to say, in the name of Jesus, out you go. Well, this time they had a live one. Yeah, they really picked one that was possessed of an evil spirit. I'm not really sure how you figure this out, but I mean, they got one this time. They hooked one. And the evil spirit talked to him using the voice of the man. And the evil spirit said, Jesus, I know him. And Paul, I know him. But who are you guys? We never heard of you. And the man in whom the evil spirit was, that is, the man was then, I guess, driven by the evil spirit, given tremendous power, and he jumped on all 7 of them. And he beat the tar out of them. To make it literally. I mean, he really beat up on them. And it says here, before they could get away from him, they left wounded and bruised and stripped of all their clothes. How an embarrassing situation this was. And it became known throughout that area what had happened to these guys. Now, it's interesting what this evil spirit said. He said, Jesus gives us reason to worry. Because he can cast us out. Not only that, but Jesus can give us a premature entrance into the abyss, a place of torment. And we don't want to go there. And that's what those that Jesus drove into those pigs that time on that mountainside. They begged him, please, don't send us to the abyss. Send us in the pigs. Don't make us go there to that place of punishment. And so, you know, if Jesus had that kind of power in the demons, they kind of worry when Jesus cast them out. Because he may not just let them run around free and go somewhere else to possess somebody. He may send them away permanently. And so they say, we got a reason to worry about Jesus. And because of Paul's connection with Jesus, we got a reason to worry about him. Because Jesus will go along with him and he will do what this Paul asked him. And so he'll also have the power to do what Jesus. So we don't like Paul and Jesus, but you guys. I mean, you guys have no power over us at all. And there's nothing you can do to us. And you don't worry us one bit. But we can give you something to worry about. And, of course, that man jumped all over him. Now, here's the area and the place where you and I ought to really become expertise at being worry makers with the evil spirits. With the evil spirits. Paul was in an area where people were possessed of evil spirits. But people's thoughts and actions, before he got there, pretty good controlled by the evil spirit. You'd be amazed how much of this city is controlled by the will of Satan. I had no idea. But most of the people around us today, folks, are skilled at being commandment breakers. Look at the few of you in comparison to this whole neighborhood. Very few people are commandment keepers. Most are commandment breakers. Even those who claim to be Christians. Most of the people are God neglectors. And that was the case in Thessalonica or wherever Paul went. Pretty well Satan was running everything until Paul appears on the scene. And then the evil spirits get kind of nervous, get kind of edgy, because Paul has come to town. Look at Acts 17, verse 2 through 6. Anyway, 2 says, Paul went on the Sabbath day to the synagogue, as was his habit, and he began to preach. As a result of that, some get saved and some get antagonistic. And then when you get down to verse 6, got so bad that they tried to kill Paul and Silas. Now that's something to worry about, you know. Why did they get that vicious? Because Paul and Silas had made them begin to worry about their life, about their conduct, and about their destiny. And verse 6 says, the charge against them, these guys, they turned the world upside down. What guys? Well, Paul and Silas had caused the whole city to be filled with worry. That's because Paul came to town. Paul at one time was in total control by the evil spirits, and then he changed sides. Paul was feared by the Christians. He worried the Christians because he went around arresting them and persecuting them and killing them. And so he made a switch. And now the shoe's on the other foot and the evil spirits begin to worry about Paul. You know, you and I all have great potential, folks, to worry the devil. We really do. Matthew 16:18. The last part of the verse, the gates of hell. Christ talks about building a church upon the faith of Peter. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Most of the people think that means defense. I think it means offense. You can really have the potential with God's help to become a great source of worry to the gates of hell. You can storm the gates. Let me ask you a question this morning. We can turn his world upside down. We can. And that causes him to worry. What are you saying? What are you planning today or tomorrow? And what are you going to do that will cause the devils to worry? Do they ever worry about me? I'm not asking you, but do they ever worry about me? Does the devil worry about this church? I might. But does he worry about it? Is he going to do anything to turn his world upside down? Am I going to do anything to turn his world? Are you going to do anything to turn his world upside down? Have I ever been a cause of worry to the devil and the evil spirits in the last year? Have I done anything, said anything, planned anything that really caused them to call an emergency meeting? We got a problem on our hands. Or have they just written us all off? Nothing to worry about there. Not for us, not against us. They're lukewarm. Don't have to worry about them. You can forget the whole lot of them. I believe that could be said for about 95% of all the people in every church. We're not turning anybody's world upside down as far as being a worry maker of the devil. I don't have the time, but what worries the devil most? Certain prayers. Not just prayer. God, I pray that you feed me, I pray that you clothe me, I pray that you heal me, I pray that you protect me. That doesn't scare him or frighten him. Only certain prayers frighten him. God, I pray you give me victory, give me revival, stir my heart, make me hot as fire for God. I mean, God, revive me and make me anxious, increase my courage, increase my boldness, increase my faith, give me a love for you, a zeal for you, a happiness for you. Now that bothers him. But Lord, get me through another day. Don't bother. But when you begin to pray for somebody to get saved, God, my sister so-and-so, she's lost. I want you to save her. Now, that bothers him. But you see, you say, well, God, change my sister. Don't bother. Because it's not going to happen unless she gets converted. Only certain prayers bother him. Have you ever noticed how seldom you ever pray? You ever pray for anybody to be saved? Or is he? And then you say, you know, I'm reading and I'm studying and I'm getting, and I'm going to go talk to that fellow over there about Jesus. I got him on my mind. That worries him. He doesn't want you talking about anybody to anybody about Jesus Christ and salvation. How long has it been since you talked to anybody? Is it even on your mind? Is it even on the drawing board? Do you even have a plan the next 15 years to talk to anybody about Jesus? If you do, you got him worried. That's how folks change sides. That's how Christ gets children to the Father. That's how it works. But most Christians, not even 5% ever try to win somebody to Christ. 95% do nothing. So don't worry about that. How many Christians will vote and stand strong on their principles against the society evils? Now that one's coming to us as we cross an election now. Most Christians, I'm not even going to vote. Or if I vote, I won't take the side of the evil, of the ungodly. Because if the devil knows he's never going to get your vote, it bothers him. Especially if you go around trying to get somebody else to vote with you. I'm talking about votes now that make a difference. Now there are folks who worry the devil. Father, we're thankful this day that we have the opportunity and the potential through the power of the Holy Spirit living within us to give the devil something to worry about. And may we, through our prayers and through our witnesses and through our uncompromising stands and our votes, make it difficult for him to have his way on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.